it is so good to see you this morning, but it's really good inviting the Holy Spirit, the God that many don't know. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to continue teaching you about the God that many don't know, Holy Spirit. It's what he does. It's what he is. But we need to just absolutely right now receive the faith proclamations that we did today during worship. Did you hear those? I don't need to repeat them, but we need to just receive them in our lives, in our bodies, and in our hearts. Father, in Jesus' name, out of our faith, we make a receptive proclamation. We receive what you have promised us today. Our bodies are whole.
That's right.
Our homes are pure and holy. Everything is done because of what you did. Holy Spirit, reveal that to us in a greater way today. We come against fear, we come against confusion, and we say in Jesus' name, there's absolutely nothing that can hinder or stop, Holy Spirit, what you are doing in and through us today. Let faith explode out of our homes. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you as you are seated. As you well know, you've heard from me for over a couple of years that I believe that we are in the beginning of end times where the Holy Spirit will move greater than he ever has before. And I believe, and we are seeing that on our campuses, secular campuses, and our seminaries and Bible colleges, that the Gen Z and millennial generations are being moved upon in such a unique way. And that's why we are very receptive of our university in our organization and very proud of them. As a matter of fact, I graduated, it's my alma mater. I graduated in 1982, and the graduation class, if you could put that up, Heralds of the Truth. And some of you say, wow, Pastor, you saved that 43 years? No, Michelle did. She graduated in my class, so I don't save nothing. I just throw it away. You know. But graduated, and I've watched some of my peers who I graduated with herald the truth, as I will do with you today. Now, let me say this to you. Whoever said, out of sight, out of mind, never had a spider disappear in the bedroom. So, out of sight, out of mind, our married couple seminar that's on November 8th, I really want to encourage you to do something that maybe we don't do. When I agree and I believe in something, I automatically sign up and I pay for it. And if my schedule causes me not to be able to attend, I automatically say, well, then I'm going to give to another couple that can't afford it. So I'd encourage every one of you, many of you that are online, that are watching now, that are not here, avail yourself to sign up. You will have the ability to sign up on our webpage, and that'll happen. If it hasn't happened already, it'll happen soon. And so recognize out in the foyer that you can do that. Also, don't leave until you drop by the Life Pacific University table and thank the students that are there because it is vital. 79 students. That we have counted through the years. My first year at Valley was 1979, and actually Pastor Nolan Rubottom, who's been here before Christ, And amen. And he graduated from there also. And so we are so privileged to be close to Life Pacific University. And your students, there are many type of classes you can receive there. And if you have children, grandparents, or grandchildren, please show them what Life Pacific University is all about. And thank you again for being here. We have your president out periodically and has taught here, has taught our women, and I'm sure it won't be the last time that they've been here. I believe we need to pray and just really solidify what God is doing in this house. And before we pray, I want to greet. I've had the privilege these past few weeks of flying out to the East Coast and meeting some of our home church leaders that have started. They're friends of mine. They've started home breakfast times with their friends, and they have it where it's around the time that our program goes online, goes on TV, and they turn it on and they sit and they watch it with their friends. Many have received Christ. Some of these have grown. I've had the privilege of meeting with some of the leaders that are going to do their own home church. And one of them I talked to is going to go from a home church and they're going to rent a facility and begin a church and begin to work with Foursquare and all that. So right now we have three home churches that are sitting in people's living rooms watching us now. So greetings in South Carolina. And there are others around. There are many in Africa that are watching us after the fact and go on YouTube and watch us and learn things, and they take that pastors, leaders that I had the privilege of meeting when I was in Africa, and they're getting my notes and using those notes for their churches, and they're saying they're producing growth, and God is really blessing them with leaders because they're developing the same type of culture, the culture God wants them to have, but basically the same type that we're doing, and creating a culture of developing leaders. And some of their leaders are going to the Bible colleges. And so keep praying, keep believing, keep being who you are at Valley. And we have a lot of kids all around the world that are serving God in a great way. So let's all pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that rules this place. The God that many don't know, Holy Spirit, we invite you to open up our hearts and our eyes and our ears to the truth of who you are. Holy Spirit, I can't do anything without you, without talking with you, without hearing you speak to me. Thank you, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, as we journey in the calling you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And again, we're in the series called The God I Never Knew. And why we termed it that way is because, as I said, we are talking about God, the Holy Spirit. Now, we've been answering a lot of questions, and we've discussed many things, and we have many more that we are discussing. But last week, we answered, is he Pentecostal? And what I tried to do last week by giving you my testimony also is I tried to remove the weirdness of talking to you about talking to someone that you don't see. And some of you say, well, yeah, I know people that do that anyways. But the reality is Jesus said it is expedient, it's important. It is one of the most important things that I go away, sitting on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you so that I can give you the Comforter. I can give you the Holy Spirit so that you'll never be alone. He will reside in you. When you become born again, he will reside in your spirit. And you can talk to him, and he wants you to talk to him, and he wants to talk to you. We remove the weirdness of that because you knew how I was brought up, and I saw Jericho marches and people rolling on the ground, all kinds of things that took place that made me uncomfortable when I was a kid. And that uncomfortableness kind of grew up into my adulthood. And even when I went to Bible college, I would hear the discussion, and it would peel away some of the weirdness I felt and the uncomfortableness I felt by knowing the truth that sets you free. But I still had that emotional weirdness. And it just, I shared with you many things, and we're not going to go over that again. But Pentecostal, what is Pentecostal? We showed you what that is. And, you know, it's not weird. Pentecost is not weird. Remember, 50 days. 50 days. And God's planning of the perfect planning of Jesus being born, Jesus being crucified, Jesus being buried 3 days and raising again, and then all the things that we see took place that was prophesied, but then also he fulfilled all that. And so today, let's answer, is the Holy Spirit another term that we hear or heard a lot when I was in high school and college, charismatic? Is the Holy Spirit charismatic? Again, what I'm trying to do in this series is to take away the miscommunication about the Holy Spirit. Because there are a lot of people that don't know him, don't relate with him, but they teach about him and they teach wrong. Another way to say it is to take away fear of the Holy Spirit, because many are afraid of the Holy Spirit. And because of that fear, there's no relationship. There's no fellowship in the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:1 says this, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." Now, he's not trying to be mean or calling someone stupid, but basically, he is trying to tell them, it just means that you haven't been taught or you have been taught misinformation. So what Paul is trying to do, I believe Paul wrote Corinthians, what Paul is trying to do is he's trying to remove that fear, that miscommunication about gifts, charismatic, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Verse 1 says spiritual gifts. Spiritual, basically gifts, pneumaticos. And if you've heard of a pneumatic drill, which is powered by air. So when we're talking about this, look at pneumatic, and you have the pneumatic grill or drill, but it says, now concerning spiritual gifts. It can say, now concerning gifts that are empowered by the breath of God. Gifts that are empowered by the breath of God. And keep that in your thought process as we're talking about this. And of course, in the time frame that I have, I cannot go deep, deep with you. And that's why we have OSL. And OSL number 2, right, Pastor Dan? 3? 2 teaches spirit, the Holy Spirit. 2, correct. Thank you. And so, get in OSL, learn, get deep in the Holy Spirit. Now, the conclusion of this is now concerning gifts, catch this, that you can only move in if you allow the Holy Spirit to breathe in you or out of you. To give you a Bible lesson, look at the words now concerning. These words are in 1 Corinthians 6 time, and the reason they're there is because Paul writes a letter to the Corinthian church before 1 Corinthians. When you read 1 Corinthians, you think it's a first book. It's not. 1 Corinthians is a second book, or the second letter that was written to the Corinthian church. Now, we don't have that first letter, but we have the second letter, which concerning the first letter, he repeats. So I guess the Lord said that that's not getting in the Bible, that first letter. So Paul writes this letter that we don't have. Then the Corinthian church writes a letter back to Paul about that first letter. And in 1 Corinthians 5, Paul writes, concerning the letter I wrote you earlier. So follow me. In chapter 7, Paul writes, now concerning the letter you wrote to me. All right, so we're seeing letters going back and forth. And we see the recording in the Bible, and he says the words, now concerning, Paul is answering the questions that they had. So I'm using this book to answer the questions that you may have, or what I believe the Holy Spirit told me that I need to cover, because those are the questions maybe we have in our church or those watching online. Now, I don't want anyone who's watching online, and we have many, just listening to one message, because I'm not going to cover everything. So with these spiritual gifts, I put them in four categories to make it more simple for all of us. And with these four categories, I'm going to answer to you, and today try my best to teach you and to show you what Paul was answering and what he was saying. So the first category, we call them the motivational gifts. These gifts are found in Romans 12, gifts that motivate you. The second category, so we got motivational gifts. The second category, these gifts are the manifestational gifts, and we're going to talk about them today in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, so stay there. The third category, these gifts are the ministry gifts, and you find these ministry gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. All right, so the fourth category, these gifts are the ministerial gifts, and these are found in Ephesians chapter 4, and these gifts are not the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but they are gifts that Jesus gave. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So let's dig a little deeper about the manifestational gifts of the Holy Spirit, or the charisma of the Lord, or the charismatic aspect of the Holy Spirit. So you know there are 9 manifestational gifts of the Holy Spirit. 9 manifestational gifts. And I'm going to, because sometimes I heard wrong teaching, I'm going to clarify some things to you. And everyone just please listen to me, watch me online, and hear. I am not knocking anybody. I'm not trying to tell you that person's wrong, that person's right. What I'm trying to do is the same thing that Paul did in the Corinthian church. They had questions. They were confused. They were afraid of all the things that they heard of the Holy Spirit at Acts chapter 2. And sometimes people would say wrong things. Matter of fact, you know, it took about 3 months after Acts chapter 2 that there were a church, a group of people that began to teach wrong doctrine about the Holy Spirit. And that's part of why Paul was trying to clarify things so that there was not confusion. So I'm just trying to tell you, be like me. I was confused. I was afraid of it. But the truth set me free. And now I daily fellowship and associate with the Holy Spirit. I talk to him. He talks to me. And there are times that I will sit there and I'll listen, and he talks and he talks. Sometimes in my office while I'm studying, I'm writing. Slow down. I can't write that fast because I'm old school. I write everything out. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit, notice capital S, Holy Spirit, is given to each one. Are you an each? Yes. Some of you, I don't know, am I an each? For the profit of all. So we need to understand all this spiritual stuff about maturity and all the spiritual stuff. It's to profit, not to make you famous. You're hearing my pet peeves years ago. He begins to list them. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Holy Spirit, capital S. To another, faith by that same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits. I'll touch on that later. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Now notice verse 11. But one and of the same Spirit works all these gifts, charismatic gifts, works all these things, distributing to each, all of you are the each, one individually as he, the Holy Spirit, wills. I go slow there because I'm going to cover something later and you're going to know why I paused and really emphasized a few words that Paul was saying. Because what Paul was seeing is what you and I have seen when there's confusion and fear of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is very important. You don't have one of these gifts. Don't go around saying, I have the gift of healings. You don't have any of them because the Holy Spirit has all of them and he releases them to you as he wills. Here it is. That's why it's vital that you relate with him, that you know the Holy Spirit. Now, well, but I know people who function in this all the time because the Holy Spirit willed. The Holy Spirit has them and he releases them to you as he wills. That's why, another reason why, and all the reasons I've given you, you must know the God that maybe you don't know. You must understand the Holy Spirit, because when you don't, if he doesn't release it, and we, quote, think we have a gift, we function in it, and struggles take place. People get frustrated. People get angry. People walk away from you because what they think, you're fake. Some of the fear that some of us have. Now, the Holy Spirit distributes to each one for the profit of all. So it's not to make me famous, not to make you famous. It's to distribute to all so that we can function together, love one another, relate with one another, encourage a profit of all. So that all of us, when we come to church, it's not, you know, we got to make a beeline to Superman or Superwoman. We make a beeline to the church. And when you and I gather together, and we are together. And I want to tell you, because when I was younger, I wanted to be that famous pastor. I wanted to be that man. I wanted to be the one that people pointed and talked about. I wanted to succeed. I wanted to be a leader in Bible college. I wanted to be, you know, because just like baseball, I wanted to be the best in baseball. So I wanted to be the best. Now, my heart was right, but I didn't understand the gifts of the Spirit. And so what it takes is, watch this, the greatest thing you can do about the gifts of the Spirit is relate with the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? I'm not knocking anybody. But there's so many people that have gotten offended and hurt, and you know, well, I'm a man of God and I have this, and they weren't right away put on the platform, and then they built an altar for him so he can stand on top of it so that he could do his gift. And so he leaves, he goes to another church. He leaves that church because he's not accepted by his gift. He doesn't have a gift. He functions with gifts that the Holy Spirit wills. All right, well, let's go. I know some people are going. Now, you can minister the gift of healings at any time the Holy Spirit allows you to do that. So what I've learned with the Holy Spirit, that's his will to heal. So I just step out in faith. Amen. Well, they didn't get healed. I stepped out in faith. Some people say, well, I have this gift. No, you don't. The Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit owns all nine of the gifts, and he manifests them, or to make known through each one. Everyone as he wills for the profit of all. And when you understand the gifts, they're for us, the church, to walk in an anointing that's powerful, that defeats death, hell, and the grave. So what I did, and many theologians do, is this. I divided them in three categories. You'll go to Life Pacific University, and they do this. You will go to OSL, we do this. So here's the first category, the discerning gifts. They are word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. Now let's talk about word of knowledge quickly. Word of knowledge is to know something specific without having learned it by natural means. Now, because I'm telling you what all nine are, again, I'm not digging deep, but I just want you to hear it again, watch this program again, and learn this, and then dig deeper and ask the Holy Spirit to show you greater things. So Jesus moved in these gifts. When he was talking to the woman at the well, he said, go call your husband. Remember that? She said, I don't have a husband. And Jesus said, you said that right, because you have five husbands, and the one you're with is not your husband. That's a word of knowledge. He didn't get it because he went around and talked to everybody and gossiped and found out she'd been married five times. Some explain it away by saying, well, he was Jesus and he knew everything. Just let me tell you a little doctrine here. Jesus laid down his identity and picked up humanity. When Jesus was on the earth, he ministered in the power of the Holy Spirit. When he came out of the wilderness and was baptized in the River Jordan, the Holy Spirit came upon him, and he walked in the power of the Holy Spirit, just like you and I. The second in discernment category is a word of wisdom. A word of wisdom, it is a divine answer or solution for a particular event. In John 9, this man gets healed. They said, we don't even know where this guy Jesus is from. But this is a marvelous saying that he opened his eyes. Then he said, if this man was not from God, then he could do nothing. So he recognized that this power of healing was from God. This statement was a word of wisdom. God gave the man a wise answer. All you students in school, you study, God can give you a wise answer. This makes me want to go to prayer and let the Holy Spirit give me the answers instead of just my opinion. Amen? So God knows a lot more about your business, about your businesses, than you do yourself. Here's a third discerning gift. Now, this is I'm going to just touch on. This was one of my pet peeves. Discerning of spirits means to be made aware of the presence of a demonic spirit, the presence of a spiritual being. This happened when Paul was being followed by that girl, remember? She said, these men are servants of the Most High, but she was a fortune teller. Now, she was saying the right thing, but Paul didn't want a witch confirming their ministry. So Paul knew it was a demon, so Paul cast the demon out of the girl. Now, because the Holy Spirit gave Paul that discernment. But let me clarify something. It's called discerning of spirits, not called discernment. You ever heard people say, well, they got a gift of discernment? It's called discerning of spirits, not the gift of discernment. There's no such gift called a gift of discernment in the Bible. And this is why I got frustrated with this stuff when I was younger. Now, we are supposed to be discerning. Like a car is coming down the road real fast, don't cross the street. All right? But we're supposed to train ourselves, train our senses of to be discerning between good and evil. All right? I'm going to say something, and it might get somebody, but can you just laugh with me with this? All right? Can we just be a church? Can we talk like Paul was talking to the Corinthian church? Most, not all, that say, I have the gift of discernment, actually have a gift of criticism. You may be a discerning person, but you don't have a gift of discernment because there isn't one. The reason I say a gift of criticism is this, and I wrote this down because I wanted to say it correctly. I spent an hour asking the Holy Spirit, how do you want me to say this? All right? They say, I have the gift of discernment. They're actually very critical and judgmental of other people. They think their opinion is God's opinion instead of God's opinion is their opinion. They think their opinion is what God feels. Sometimes I've learned through the years, my opinion is not what God feels. We saw that with Charlie Kirk's wife. I forgive that young man that murdered my husband. That's not human. That is spiritual. To forgive. And we have to get to a place in our life of understanding that, because a lot of people go around and they become these people that other people follow because they need to have their opinion because they know God. You know what? A lot of us know God's word. We have a lot of wisdom. But I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit is the one that will help you. I have spiritual fathers, spiritual moms. I've had that. I've had mentors. I've had peers that we talk all the time. And some of you know, Gil Dierman and I talk quite a bit about things. And I'll just tell you, Gil Dierman's a lot smarter than me. So I do really well, even though I'm older than him, I do really well talking to him. All right? So we have to get to that place of recognizing is the discerning of spirits, of whether it's a demonic spirit. So my question to you is, would it be all right with you if the Holy Spirit showed you a demonic or evil spirit? and that evil spirit was coming against your family, your home, your business, your marriage. And he gave you specific things that you can pray to rebuke that evil spirit. Would it be all right with you? Amen. Now, there are spiritual fathers that could, you know, something happened. I asked him a question. He said, oh, you know, God's moving in that area. You know, you know, in other words, our automatic thing sometimes is when something doesn't go right in our life, we have a tendency to think, the devil's after me. You know, maybe we've made a wrong decision. And so, and maybe the devil is after you, but we have to recognize we have authority over the enemy. And what the Holy Spirit will do is share with you specifics so that you can come in and destroy the work of the enemy so your family, your business, everything about you can rise up. And that sickness does not come from God. And the Holy Spirit says, hey, Jesus went to the cross for that. You are healed in Jesus' name. That devil's a liar. And I want to keep it simple because literally if you understand these gifts are to bring encouragement to us. So here's the second category. The declarative gifts. You have prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. So all three use the tongue to declare. So it's something we say. Now prophecy is a message of encouragement from God through a person. Is a message of, everyone say it with me, encouragement. Go ahead and say it. Encouragement from God through a person. 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, but he who prophesies is for edification, exhortation, and comfort. It never says correction. The spiritual gift of prophecy is for encouragement. The reason I say this is because people say they have a gift of prophecy. They think they can correct people because they say, thus saith the Lord at the end of their prophecy. You know what I've learned? When the Holy Spirit works through me in prophecy, I don't say, thus saith the Lord at the end. I say the prophecy. Because I want you to recognize that when it is of God, it will pierce everything. It will move. And we have a tendency to try to put ourselves in these titles. And so the spiritual gift of prophecy is always for encouragement. Now, please don't say, thus saith the Lord. Because a lot of times, when some people prophesy, the Lord didn't say it. Okay, I'm going on. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 31. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. Notice it says, learn. We are all growing. That's why we're in your church. The Bible says, don't forsake the assembling together of the church. You know why? Because we learn together. Okay, I'm going to get on this side and say, you know why? We learn together. Amen. Now, let me say this. We learn together, and we also learn that when we fail, we're not judged. Now, how does all that happen? Because it's always preached. Love one another. It's always preached. How does that happen? Because you relate with the Holy Spirit and you get his heart. And when you walk in spiritual things, you are loving one another, even if they've made mistakes. Here's a second declarative gift, tongues. Tongues is a message from God in a language unknown to the person from whom the message comes. All right? Now, I'm going to spend a whole message on tongues, so I'm quickly going to go through this, but later on we're going to talk about tongues the whole time together. Now, this gift is talking about the manifestation of tongues, not a prayer language. A prayer language is a deeper walk in relationship with you when you are in your prayer closet, when you are spending time with God. And so the tongues is a gift of the Spirit, and I explained to you what that is. The third declarative gift is interpretation of tongues. This is understanding and expressing the thought and intent of the tongue message, the language that you did not know, and then you share it in English. So I'm going to just dig a little deep here. It's the interpretation of the tongue, not the translation of the tongue. I'll explain that in a moment. So what's the difference between interpretation and a translation? There's a big difference. An interpretation is expressing the thoughts and the intent of what the person just said in the tongue. A translation is word for word. Let's look at a verse about prophecy and the interpretation of the tongue. 1 Corinthians 14:5. I wish you all spoke with tongues. That's a statement in the Bible for all those saying that tongues aren't part of the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues. Whatever your religious background is, you have to come to grips with that statement. Tongues and interpretation of tongues are for today. Now, we have demeaned the gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. So verse 5, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. One's more important than another. No. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with a tongue or tongues. Watch what it says. Unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. Because if I stand up here just saying a tongue, walk away, you don't understand a word I said. But when you get the interpretation, then you will understand and you will be edified. Exhortation and comfort will take place by the word. And watch this, because it was interpreted, because you heard it in your own language. And so tongues, interpretation, you can actually do real math. Tongues and interpretation equals prophecy. Okay? So the reality is what I'm doing in this teaching here, I'm trying to remove the weirdness out of all this stuff. One of you came in here, you've never heard about this. Someone stood up and gave a tongue. You'd look at it and you would think, I need to get out of here. This place is weird. And some of you may have already done that. And you came here. Sorry, we believe in tongues interpretation. So here's the last category. We'll conclude with this. The dynamic gifts. Faith, healings, and miracles. So the dynamic comes from the Greek word found in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. So the word power, dunamis, means explosive power. Another word we can get from the word dunamis is dynamite. Now, you shall receive dynamite for witnessing. So when you witness, this power will explode out of you, is what it is saying. In other words, you will be powerful. People will say when we say, we need to go out and witness. Well, I don't know if I can. I've never done that before. If you understand the Holy Spirit, you understand the dynamite that's inside you, waiting to come out. You are important. Young people today, you need to understand is you are so vital and important because you are in groups of people that really don't even know the Father, Son, or the Holy Spirit. And you have dynamite inside you to be able to witness who Jesus is. So let's look at these gifts. The first dynamic gift is faith. Faith is a supernatural impartation of belief and confidence for a specific situation. Now, this is not the faith in general. That you get in the Word of God and faith is built. You believe because you know the Word of God and you live that 24/7. This is a faith given by the Holy Spirit, a gift given by the Holy Spirit, that you are facing something that you don't know what to do, and all of a sudden it's like you get this in your heart. Oh, I got this. This is not going to destroy me. Because in your own thoughts, it's what am I going to do? But all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes in and gives you, you receive by faith, and you rise up and say, in Jesus' name, this will not destroy me. And you keep walking, and you have victory in the situation. It gives you power to be able to overcome things in your life. So that's why we need to know the Holy Spirit. Now, would it be all right with you when you're going through a difficult time and the Holy Spirit just says, come on, son, come on, daughter, boom, and gives you this amazing faith? Would it be all right with you? Now, let me just say it to you now. How about some of you today that walked in here with a heavy heart? Would it be all right with you by the time, and I'm praying this, I prayed this at 5:45 this morning in my office. Would it be all right with you if the Holy Spirit zapped you, I'm just using that term, zapped you with faith by the time you got on the sidewalk to walk to your car or get some coffee, that you said, I got this thing. Devil has no power over me. Amen? Amen. Receive it. So what I'm trying to show you is that the Holy Spirit is good, so spend time with him. Don't be afraid of him or any of his gifts. The second dynamic gift is gifts of healings. It is a supernatural endowment of divine health. Now, for us older people, there is a gentleman named Oral Roberts. He preached healing. It's because he was healed of tuberculosis. When he was 17, a family member took him to a camp meeting service and was so weak and was about to die, a couple weeks from dying, they lay him in the back row. God told him, I am going to heal you in that service. So he went about preaching the message of healing around the world. And in his books, and I had the privilege of meeting him and going to the university to visit, and he said, there are many times that I prayed and I didn't see the miraculous right away, but I never stopped believing because of what God did for me. And God gives, through the Holy Spirit, healings. So he went on and built a university where young people can be trained in the Christian atmosphere like Life Pacific. He built Oral Roberts University. So whether you liked him or not, he preached healing because he was healed. It's an experience he had with God. So people, a lot of times, have a negative connotation on healing, and all they see is what's on TV or what the news is. They see people who God used mightily. Remember, it's not their gift. It's the Holy Spirit's. And then they fell to sin. See? That wasn't of God. They get confused. But I always say to people, but when you get sick, things change. You turn to God. So it's not a bad thing that God heals you. It's a good gift from the Holy Spirit. Here's a third dynamic gift. Workings of miracles. Everyone say workings of miracles. It is divine intervention that alters our natural circumstances. How many of you sometimes feel in your life that, where's God? How many of you have ever felt, God did this, I received a miracle? How in the world would you ever stop believing in miracles when you've received a miracle? Why would you rebuke God? For the home churches, why would we rebuke God? Why would I literally say, I'm tired of this. God's never there. I will tell you, it's because if I say something about the Father God, oh yes, the love of God. If I say something about Jesus, oh, he went to the cross for my sins. I'm going to heaven because of what Jesus did. I walk in his righteousness. We're real good with that stuff. Then I say something about the Holy Spirit. He hadn't talked to me. Those people are weird. I would never go to a charismatic church because they're weird people. No, we're not weird. We're peculiar, but we're not weird. God can't stop doing miracles because he's a miracle-working God. I just want to rub shoulders with the one who gives it, the Holy Spirit. So church family, as we continue in this series, take a deep breath and really allow yourself, you know, I'll tell you, you can even go, and we're pushing Life Pacific University, we're pushing seminary, we're pushing Christian, but you can even go to those places and some of the professors can be confused. Love God with all their heart, they will love you, and you will succeed because you went to a place that developed culture of God. But when we don't understand Jesus saying, it is expedient, it's important, it is vital that I go away so I can give you the Holy Spirit so you can relate with him. You can talk with him. When you're all alone and if someone's watching online and you're thinking suicide and you feel all alone, no one cares, the Holy Spirit is there to encourage you, to comfort you, to love you, to show you Christ so you know what Christ has done for you, to show you the love of the Father. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. You would live in eternity. If you're here today and you have rejected, you've rebuked the Holy Spirit, may as your pastor who loves you dearly, who's been with you for years, encourage you to say, I got to know him more. And if you're here and you spend every day talking to the Holy Spirit, know him more. Know him in a greater way. Spend 5 minutes more a day with the Holy Spirit. Spend that 10 minutes. Spend that 1 minute. Whatever it takes, just spend time. But Pastor, I'm uncomfortable with this thing. That's all right. How many times you've been uncomfortable at your job? How many times you've been uncomfortable at a family get-together? How many times Have you been uncomfortable in your business and wondering what's going to happen? How have you been uncomfortable in your church? I'm saying to you, take that deep breath and let the Holy Spirit breathe in and through you. Talk with Him. Receive that amazing glory of the Lord, the Holy Spirit's comfort. Let's all stand. So that's where charismatic comes from. A charismatic church is a church that believes in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And every gift is to be given to you all, not one of you. If you're born again today by believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. All right, you do that. Holy Spirit resides in you. You now start the engine of the Holy Spirit speaking to you, you speaking to Him, and He begins in His will imparting the gifts of the Spirit to you. It's not whether you got a degree or whether you've been saved for a long time. It's that you have the God that many don't know. The Holy Spirit in you. In Jesus' name, we come before you, Father, thanking you for the Holy Spirit. Reveal Him in a greater way this week in our hearts. All those watching online, all the home churches, individuals, families, bless them with revelation of the Holy Spirit. As they make decisions in their life and walk in this world, they would walk with great encouragement because the Holy Spirit is real and He is God. Holy Spirit, you are always welcome at Valley Community Church. I'm asking that if you own a business, your homes, you would just, for 5 seconds now, just say, Holy Spirit, I welcome you in our home. Go ahead and do that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I proclaim a blessing over this house, a blessing over every home represented and every individual. And now I pray that tonight, as our youth get an exciting event, Lord, the Holy Spirit would move upon every life and reveal callings of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I love you. See you tonight, 6 o'clock.